Welcome to another episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast, hosted by Matt Christopher and Dan Adler. Settle in, listen, and learn what drives them to share their knowledge and experiences with the hope it gets you thinking about a different perspective on life. Over to you, Matt and Dan.
G'day, Matt. We're back.
We're back.
It's Monday, the 21st of April, Easter Monday.
Absolutely. So, do we say Merry Easter? I know we say Merry Christmas. I'm not sure what
I think Happy Easter is the go.
Is it Happy Easter?
And have you had a good Easter?
I have, actually. Really good.
What have you been up to?
Oh, just spending time with the family and catching up with you. And it's been really good, actually.
It's been beautiful weather. Normally, Easter's a bit rainy here in Australia. But it's been stunning outside. I went for a walk and talk this morning with my mate Mark Cash and Kangaroo Cliff Points. And everyone was out and about in Brisbane enjoying the botanic gardens and the blue skies. It's beautiful.
It's a blessing. So what have you been up to over the... It's been quite a while since we
Bit
did
of a
the
gap.
Last... Yeah, so what have you been doing?
Work has been incredibly busy. We've had overlapping projects and the team have just been at full capacity doing TV ads, radio ads and websites and the list goes on, driving all over the countryside. So it's been super busy. Hence, we haven't had time to do this podcast episode and we are sorry that we haven't been dropping one every single week.
Please forgive us.
But we don't want to be a statistic. We want to be a podcast that continues past at least 12 and 13 so we can be on the other side of the bell curve and continue on. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much. So for me, I got some really good news, which you know. And I've been open about my cancer journey.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so 12 months ago, I was diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer. Fortunately for me, it was... encapsulated or kept to the prostate, and I had radical prostatectomy, had a prostate removed. So I'm going. What am I? Actually, this month I'm going to be 53. So you know, anybody's
still
going,
a young pup.
Oh, absolutely, I feel it. You know, I had a very high Gleason score. It was at about 8 or 9. So if anybody knows about cancer, that's very very high. I've had my third test or checkup since, and my results now, it's 12 months now since I had the removal of the prostate, I'm negative.
Fantastic,
which is
mate.
Absolutely fantastic.
Well done.
And also my iron levels, which were sort of showing worrying signs, have come right down as well. So I'm really grateful that... I've been given, you know, this extra time or, you know, I can go on with the rest of my life and look after my family and be with great friends like you.
Keep up the good work, mate.
Absolutely. So for all of you people out there that may be going through something really difficult and traumatic, might be cancer, a lot of people, that's another... We'll do that subject. That is cancer in our society, but anyway...
And you're going to get your checks. Your checks.
Oh, please, if you are a man, please don't be like the ostrich with your head in the sand. Please go and get your PSA checks, the bowel screening. If you're in Australia, when you're over 50, they give you a little kit and do that.
Because melanoma,
absolutely,
skin checks.
Get checked. Don't be, you know, don't say, as we say in Australia, she'll be right, mate. You won't be right. So, yeah, that's a positive thing. And also, I have re-engaged with the Brisbane Rotary Club. You're going to talk about
Welcome.
That. And also, my wife has joined the club as well, and she's going to bring her formidable business talent to our club. And I'm really excited that as a family unit, we're committed to serving others, and that really makes me very proud of us as a family. And I know your family's the same way. So over the time we've been very busy, business has been really good, health, as I said, is good, and re-engaging with the things that we're passionate about. So we sort of ask for your forgiveness for not doing as many podcasts, but we want to be, as you said, Dan, right from the beginning, we want to be real. This is real time. We are so busy that we're actually buying out time from our families to produce this. So
it's a time capsule.
It is, absolutely.
Talking about time capsules, I went for my walk this morning and I saw in the Botanic Gardens the time capsule that was buried in 1988. Lord Mayor at the time, Sally Atkinson, honoured the bury of the 4-gallon drum. There's lots of varied, interesting and valuable items inside that 4-gallon drum. 63 years' time, they're going to dig it up. We won't be here, I don't think, Matt, but
no,
someone
I
will
won't,
be there.
I hope not. I hope not.
But that was a time capsule, and, geez, it made me stop and think that, you know, Rotary back in 1988, how life was back in 1988. I was here enjoying Expo 88. I remember at South Bank. It was such an incredible experience. Very eye-opening. And also, you know, what we're experiencing today, fast forward to 2025, you know, life is changing at a rapid pace with technology, things like working from home, subscription TV, overtaking the free-to-air channels, and the list goes on and on and on. And we're just about to have an election here in Australia.
Yes.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Can I just jump back to the time capsule? Mm. I saw, and you posted online, the names of all those Rotarians. Now, we're really fortunate that one of those members, Phil Gresham. Mate, you're a champion. He's still in our club, and he's been there since, as you said, 1988. So good on you, Phil. We love you, mate. So,
and James Delahunty.
Oh, right, yes.
He's an honorary member.
That's right, yeah. So good on you for all of those years of service, and they really are the elders of our club, and we, as the younger members, we learn so much from them. So I thank you very much for your service to our club.
And I might just make a quick announcement. I've decided to come back for a second term, Matt, for my sins.
Woo!
President for another year, new financial year, off the back of the great work that President Angela has been doing all year. She's tirelessly kept the club going. And we're looking to reinvigorate and reinvent the club for my term, second term. And we've already attracted 7 new club members to join us. So I think we're getting close to 40 members of our club. But let's try and get to 50, I reckon.
I love it. And also, we spoke as friends when you consulted with me and said, Matt, this is what I'm thinking of doing. And I said, great, you know, I support you no matter what. But for me, and we're totally unity ticket on this, is that we have to be really relevant for the time. And I know that the changes that you're bringing to the club, our meeting times, venues, it's really giving back to people. Everybody's time poor, so if it's really important that we culturally say to people, you know what, thank you for coming along. It's not just giving out, but we as a club want to say thank you, and I think the ideas that you've got to give back to the individuals, to help them, the mentoring programs you're talking about, and also getting businesses involved to really sponsor and help.
We're going to treat it like a business and
absolutely,
run it like a business.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, we need money, that's for sure. So exciting times.
Thank you, and welcome to the club and onto the board. Member of the board.
Thank you. I'll be doing my very best and keep my dad jokes to a limit.
So what else did we want to talk about? Change. I mean, I can talk to this very quickly that as an employer, like we've talked about previously, I've had people come and go from my team, and I've over time embraced change because good things have come from it. Not saying that I want my people to leave, but at the same time, I had to change my perspective on it and look at it with curious eyes and think, what's behind this? What's on the other side of that rainbow, or that what's on the other side of the bridge? And instead of running away and being upset that things have changed on me when I've worked so hard to train this person up and they're now walking away with all that knowledge, I've said, okay, that's fine, go forth, and with our blessings, you know, if you love something, let it go. They've gone, and in fact some of them have come back to our nest and wanted to come work with us again. David Fanning, for one, has come back to the nest and is now part of our fold. And I think that's the height of a compliment of any employee, is that they can look at their boss and say, you know what, I want to come back and work for you. I reckon that's bloody cool.
Yeah, not burning bridges
is
really important. And I've obviously in different industries, but I've trained people and they've gone out on their own. But I've always said to them, especially if they're good human beings, you're always welcome. And you don't. And you're the same. You don't want to hold somebody back. It's hard because you have invested so much money. And as a business person, it's always hard when you've invested so much time and effort in a person, because as a business person, you know that it takes many years to get that professional, get them to that that standard that you need for your industry and your business. And then you need X amount of years afterward to recoup the money. So it's hard from that point of view. But if you don't burn the bridges and they're good human beings and then they come back, it's almost like it's a beautiful compliment. You know, they've gone and had a look, a taste test. The grass probably isn't greener over there. And they've come back, and I think that's a really beautiful thing, and it takes maturity. And yeah, you do. You can take a financial loss, but at the end of the day, good human beings are pretty hard to find. So, yeah,
it's what you do with the opportunity, isn't it? Yes. As it presents itself, looking at it and thinking, what can I take advantage of this opportunity, but also make it a win-win for people. For the people around you, that they look at it and go, oh, that's interesting the way he handled that and what he made of it. You know, what's they saying? Make lemonade out of lemons sometimes.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point about our behaviour, especially as leaders, is that there's eyes and ears everywhere. And if we, which is easy to do, we've all done it, you overreact. I've done it, you know. People are watching. They're thinking, okay, well, I've been thinking about that situation myself, and they're, in a sense, they're watching what happens. It's almost like they're role-playing through somebody else vicariously. So that sets a tone for the whole business. And I think if you can have honesty, and I know that that's something that your personal brand is on, honesty. And I know
compassion,
you.
Compassion as well.
Absolutely.
You don't understand. Everyone's got a story. Everyone's got something going on in their lives. I've had to learn that a lot because I used to get frustrated with other people thinking, why are they doing that? And why are they thinking that? And why didn't they act the way I expected them to act? And why didn't they click on that thing or see something and do what I would do? But, you know, we were just talking about this earlier today that I just look at life differently on some things, and I lean into things that are difficult and maybe to my detriment. You know, maybe I spend too much time on the wrong things, and maybe other people are smarter and they go, well, opportunity cost, why spend time on that? You could be doing something else more prosperous. But there's something about taking on a challenge, and that's again why I've come back for a second term for being president of the Rotary Club.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think anyone else put their hand up. So, you know, I think that if I can make it, turn it around and make it something that's really attractive, and I have a competition of people wanting to be the next president after me, again, people will be looking at that going, wow, how did he do that? Even other clubs have a attendance problem, engagement problem, and their value proposition of what they're selling is not attractive. So I'm going to try and make it attractive and see if I can do something that other people can't do, because that's what drives me.
And that's all about change, isn't it? At each, for instance, each president of, let's say, Rotary has their own style, and then another person comes along. And we know with Angela, she brought this vibrancy and a really open view of the world and taking on possibilities, very positive person. And then you have a very inclusive style, but also about the win-win. Very important for you and for me that we have that win-win. But that takes time to be able to implement things that are going to be of value to everybody. I think that's really important. And change, which is the subject we're talking about today, is at first is really difficult, because when we want, I think as humans, we want the safe position of not having to think, not having to worry, not having to stress, things just to happen automatically. And we're in a world at the moment, which we're talking before we started the podcast, we are in tremendous change. Politically, social, religious, cultural change is just AI, back to that subject again. It is just, it's change, and it's happening so quick now. You listen to the news in the morning and something dramatic's happened. The whole world's turned upside down. Yep. So being prepared for change and also having a thirst for change is going to put us in a far stronger position than going, oh, it's going too fast for me, or I just want it to stop, I just want to jump off this train. Well, it's not going to stop for any of us. So no.
It's the cat's out of the bag. And then you layer over the top of that quantum computing, and the power of being able to look at different dimensions, that with AI, the world is just going to be going, wow, strap yourselves in. This is going to be one incredible ride. But I think a lot of people here in Australia want to be told what to do and how to act.
I agree with you.
And they're the herd mentality.
Very dangerous.
So, you know, we're coming into an election. I hope people remember what the last 4 years was like. Particularly, it was a real struggle for small, medium-sized businesses, SMEs. And the cost of living, it's been terrible. The cost of electricity, rates have gone up. Everything is just out of control, and we have an opportunity for change, and we hope that the leaders understand the importance of not just kissing people's butt, and they...
Hey, what about babies? They love kissing babies.
They love kissing babies.
Yes.
But I think the next 2 years is going to be critical, because whatever precedent gets set after... You know, all this disruption from Ukraine and the other wars and, you know, Donald Trump and all this political unrest and the share market going up and down daily. Is it going to get any worse than this? Is it going to, you know, bubble over and explode? Or is it going to settle down? Or is this the new normal?
I'm going to ask you a question. Our parents are at retirement age, and I'm looking at my super. Okay, where we had the shocks out of the United States and Donald Trump's tariff thing. And suddenly it was just, I can only speak about my superannuation, or I think in America they're 415Ks. I hope I get that right. 401, pardon me. It just plummeted. And my thing, Dan, is a question for you. Do you think we've been sold propaganda to say, look, be a good little boy, be a good little girl, save and put your money into this pension fund, superannuation fund? Is it reasonable to say maybe that money is not even going to be, well, certainly not much money is going to be left? Is that reasonable to...
Well, another thing to look at is it's been overinflated for a really long time.
Right.
Look at the property market. Oh, look how overinflated that is. I know just recently our board of executives of the Rotary Club of Brisbane, we got advice from Morgans to change the Commonwealth Bank shares, which we had a lion's share of our portfolio invested in. It was overinflated. The PE score was way out of whack. If it's too out of control, meaning it's like overinflated, then it's going to pop or it's going to come down and have a correction. And it did. It was a really good advice. I think we must have saved somewhere in the vicinity of $200,000.
That's a lot of money.
If we'd kept on that share with the amount of money that the Rotary Club of Brisbane had invested. Yeah, it has had a major correction. I feel sorry for those people that, you know, they've been through the GFC and they've seen that major correction that happened, and a lot of people that were 65, 70, their share portfolio dropped like about a third.
Yeah.
But it'll bounce back. But at the same time, every day, every week, every month is important to people's lives. Just need good advice. I know that this time last year, I met with my superannuation fund manager, and he said, you've had 23% growth. It's been just a
huge
2 years. So we're going to change it all to be more conservative, put more into cash, because we can sense that something big is going to happen and there'll be a correction. So we did that. I'm meeting with him on Monday next week, so I'll be interested to see whether that strategy has played out, that we haven't lost a lot. But at the same time, I think our age, superannuation, you shouldn't look at it. Just don't even look at it right now. Because compound interest, it'll just play itself out if you're making your contributions regularly. What else are we going to talk about?
You know Mark Boris,
mm-hmm.
For those who...
I've met him, read his book.
Have you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. Well, he made an extraordinary statement the other day about how Australians need to prepare to never retire and to be working till you're 80 and 90. Now, how do you feel about that idea? Just
depends on what your attitude towards work is. I mean, I love doing what I do. My job is a great job. And I think if I didn't have that, I'd be extremely bored and lonely, back to one of our previous episodes. And so, you know, being connected, feeling like a sense of purpose, getting up in routines in the morning, getting up early, as opposed to just being a lounge room lizard. Looking after your health, like we've talked about, your mental health, feeling like as though you're working on your brain, otherwise you know, it'll turn to mush. So just like Keith Watts in our club, he'll be working and being active until, you know, his last page in his book. So I'm all for contributing to community, getting out there, doing something, even if it's volunteering. I understand that unless you are the type of person that you've got so much wealth that you don't need to worry about paying the bills and you can just go traveling and have a great adventure in life, I think we're stuck here for a long time doing something. But I think that from what I've understood, the pension, if you are working and you make money, then that makes it, it's a means tested. So therefore you don't end up getting the pension if you're getting too much money come through as a salary.
Yeah.
So that's, I believe that that's a problem with Australia right now and that needs to be fixed.
But do you think there'd be many people that would be listening to this and they, yes, they do their jobs, but it's not, you're fortunate. You're so aligned with your work. It's just like you're born for that. And it gives you such reward. But what happens if somebody's has been in an industry that's it's not their, you know, it's not their thing. You know, it's not
your body wears down.
Yeah, your body. You're a bricklayer. You're a carpenter. You're a whatever. You have to give it up. Yeah, and then you're forced to work. Do you think that's? I mean, that's what I sort of felt that Mark was talking about. That we as a society are forced to work till you're 80 years old.
Computers are going to take over very soon.
Anyway. Oh, okay. Well, there's your answer.
Yeah.
We'll have robots.
Yeah.
Oh, easy fixed.
3D printers. Can they print eggs?
Oh, ask the Americans whether they can,
eggs print are in shortage.
Eggs.
Expensive. $1 an egg.
Is that right?
Yeah. $12 for a dozen eggs.
Oh, talk about your ride.
There was a period where I went through a yes period. It was like a whole year of saying yes to everything.
Right.
And anyone suggested something, I'd say, yes, let's give it a go. I don't know what that means. I don't know what I'm in for, but I'll go yes, and then I'll work it out. And there was a big ride coming up. There was a 100-kilometre ride. I think it was the MS Breezy to Bay. One of my team members said, we should put a team together and have next Thursday branded jerseys. And we did it. I said, yes. And now I've gone past from that big concept of riding 100 kilometres. I think I did 5 100-kilometre rides last year. I'm doing the same 5 100-kilometre rides this year. And in fact, I just finished. It was 125 kilometres. It took almost 4.5 hours. And, you know, it takes a lot of discipline. You can't just rock up to these things and expect to get to the end without cramping and, you know, managing your diet and also, you know, the team spirit of getting up in the morning at 4 o'clock and meeting your friends in the cold and the dark and going for a ride before work. It's a great way to set your mind and attack the day and feel like as though you've now got this group of mates that you ride with and you talk with them and you get the chance to download and listen to them. And we've now built these great relationships and they're mates for life now, which was a surprise that came off the back of that change of me saying, oh, I'm not a cyclist. I don't even own a bike. How can I do a 100-kilometre ride? I don't even have a road bike.
Right.
How did I go about that? I went and got a bike. I'm now upgraded from that bike to another bike that's even, you know, faster and better. But through embracing change and looking at it differently, I've now had so much positivity come out of that. And now I use that as my routine of keeping myself healthy, but also catching up with my mates. We call the Road Killers. And I've also got a second riding group called the Sage Riding Team. And we've got a 24-hour ride coming up in August to raise money for motor neuron disease.
Tell us about that. Tell us about the...
So you've got a maximum of 6 people that are in your relay team. And one person must be on the track at all times. So you'll start at 10 a.m. in the morning. You'll finish at 10 a.m. the next day. And you ride through the night. And so, you know, an hour each, and you'd come off, and then you'd tag, and the next person goes on. And you get really kind of funky in the middle of the night, like between 1 o'clock in the morning and 3 a.m. in the morning, and you're like riding, and there's no one else out there.
The white line fever.
Yeah. And I had headphones on playing Metallica. Just I was like, and that kept me company. But you think, oh, I would never do anything like that. But again, I said yes when Sage asked me. And this year we've got two teams for Sage because we've got 12 people that are interested. And so that combined with the Brisbane to Gold Coast bike ride, riding has become something that keeps my back nice and strong because I've got a fused spine. And so my glutes and my hamstrings and my ITBs, if I'm riding a lot, that means I've got a nice strong back. And that's been a good positive. Would never have thought that riding would be a cure for my bad back.
So it's become, it's like a combination of not just rehabilitation in a physical sense, but...
And meditation.
Yes.
Because all I think about on the bike ride is just the road, and it distills my thinking. And it brings out the little boy in you when you're doing 65 kilometres an hour down a road. You're only separated between the road and a thin piece of lycra and a helmet. So,
and also that sense of community.
Yeah.
So in a world where people are feeling really genuinely disconnected, this is a way, it's multifaceted, isn't it?
They get you out of bed in the morning and you feel guilty if you ring them up or you send a message saying, oh, I'm not coming today. You know, it makes you dedicated to turn up.
So you're letting the team down.
You are, if you get lazy. And so... You know, you see it with run clubs, you see it in gyms. Having a personal trainer helps you commit to being there to turn up. So that whole year of saying yes, I think even that year was the year that I said yes to being Rotary Club president. I was saying yes, yes, yes. And there's a point when you have your plate too full. And I had a business coach at the time and he said, okay, now we need to switch to no. And there's a really interesting book, Mark Mason's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And you've only got so many fucks to give before you're dead. So you have to choose which fucks you want to give a fuck about. And that was an interesting period where I went through and going, okay, let's cultivate my life. Let's choose where I invest my time and who I invest my time with, because I want to value each day and each moment. And if I am going to have a conversation like we're having now, I want it to be a worthwhile one. And hence, I went through a phase of investment, investing time, investing in energy, and making those choices to say no. So I went from saying yes, yes, yes to no, no, no. And then now I'm in a phase where I'm really being grateful for the moments that I've got and what I'm doing, because I think I've tailored the life that I'm happy with at the age of 50.
Yeah, I agree. I've gone through a very similar journey where I had to change from needing other people's approval, that's the way I was sort of raised, to realizing that I only have, and all of us do, have a finite time on this earth, and there's priorities. And one of the priorities is my own well-being, emotional, mental well-being. And some people, they don't mean it, and they're not doing it deliberately. But they're sort of vampires, you know. They do drink your blood in a sense, you know. They do. No matter how much effort you put in, it's never enough. And I needed to just really to pull back and go, well, okay, who are the people that really add something to my life? Of course, you're a true friend of mine, but it's. It's not about money, but it's about all of those things, like you said, about the riding thing. There's the I would call it the spiritual aspect, which is the meditational sort of aspect, which we all have a spiritual side. It's not talking about religion, but a spiritual side. And then there's the physical aspects, getting out there and walking. I've got a really good mate, Rhett, and we go, well, he gets me out walking, and that's really important. And as a family, spending time together. I don't like the word quality time, but it sort of feels like, well, I'm going to spend this 15 minutes. That's going to be the most important thing. No, it's making sure that as a family, we are connected. And as I said, with Rotary, having my wife, Monica, on board, that's a great thing. We can do things together. So we're not just, I'm not going out to do Matthew stuff.
It'll appear selfish.
Yeah, you're doing it together. So I think a recalibration is really important, that there needs to be people around you who genuinely lift you up.
Well, there'll be a new day tomorrow. I think we've covered off the subject of change thoroughly enough in this episode, from politics to Rotary, the change that's in my life with AI and jobs and your job. for health and fitness. And, you know, we're encouraging people to have a healthy appetite for bringing change into their life and seeing what comes out of it, but put the work in and realize, you know, life is not just a big gift. And, you know, go get it, eat life up, starting today. Tomorrow's a new day. And enjoy what's on the other side of Easter.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks very much. See ya. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast. To follow us, like and subscribe. And you'll find more content on all popular social media platforms. Search No Time to Be Offended. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, we hope you get the best out of your life.